This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
I'm Benji Shulman, and this is 101.9 High FM. And, of course, the world is a little bit chaotic at the moment, and on this show we focus on Ukraine and America and what's going on in the Middle East. But recently we've had a sort of new addition. It's not so new, it's just that it's popped up to the surface now, and that is the question of Venezuela and stolen elections that have happened there with the Maduro regime that is in power, and a worldwide protest taking place over the weekend to protest this. And to talk to us more about it, David Akinin, and he is an entrepreneur here in Southern Africa, but originally Venezuelan, and was part of organizing them. David, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
No, thanks for having me. It's such a cool setup you've got here.
Really, really cool to have you on. So, Dave, maybe just very, very briefly, because you have a fascinating story, which maybe we should actually have you on for more. But briefly, how did you end up from Venezuela being an entrepreneur in South Africa?
I mean, it's the story of the Jewish nomad, right? My family's originally Spanish Moroccan, moved to Venezuela in the 50s, 60s. After the Six-Day War, it was a bit of a push there. And my brothers and I, growing up in Venezuela, had an amazing childhood, a very strong Jewish community of about 30,000 people. And, you know, when I was about 11, my brothers and I were kidnapped. And this is 2001. After this situation, my parents took a very difficult decision of deciding to leave everything behind and move to the United States. So I actually went to high school in Miami. And I grew up in the U.S. I worked there. I did my university there. And after a bit, you know, I started thinking and traveling, and I explored the African continent. I went to Namibia, Angola, Ethiopia, Nigeria, and then I fell in love with Namibia. For those of you who haven't been, it's just down the street. And I started about 10 years ago. I'm 34, so this was about 24-year-old me moved to Southern Africa, started a construction company building housing and schools, and now I run a fintech in the region. I spend my time between here, Joburg, Zambia and Namibia.
Amazing. So that's how you came to be there. Now, the kidnapping that happened to you, it wasn't, how do I put this? It wasn't just that it was a criminal incident. It happened in the context of the Venezuelan society that at the time was under pressure because of the political changes. So for people who don't know what those changes were, maybe give us some perspective on that.
Yeah, look, Venezuela has large oil reserves. It's a country with very big income inequality. I would say decades of entrepreneurs becoming wealthier and the poor probably being left behind. We see that in many contexts. South Africa doesn't fall far behind from that tree. 1998, Hugo Chavez gets elected on the promise of we will nationalize everything, we will socialize this country, and we will create a lot of benefit for the people.
Now, where have we heard that before?
What a lot of people don't see is that he was riding on the back of amazing increase in oil prices. So if you think of it as a chart, you know, Venezuelan revenue grew 5x at the time, and he started deploying a bunch of social causes, free healthcare, free apartments. He wouldn't give them to you, but you could stay in them. And I think he had a pretty strong backing. Problem is, when the oil prices disappeared and they go back down to 1x from that 5x he had experienced, he couldn't sustain a lot of those social causes. And this is where it kind of like things start coming down. Regardless of your political views, if you can't afford your fiscus, like you have a real problem. And I think that drove the first or second wave of immigration. Today, 25 years later, they're still in power. The same party keep blaming the past. but I think the bigger issue here is the 8 million people who have left the country, right? In the last 25 years, they've looted the economy, corruption at all levels, not just from a political standpoint, but at the entrepreneurial level. Everyone just being able to do friends favors to each other has driven our currency to be completely deteriorated and devaluated, very similar to what a lot of people will remember Zimbabwean currency went through. And specifically in Venezuela, I mean, I always love to give this example. A teacher makes $8 a month. What teacher will stay in this country if you can go teach in a nearby country in the same language? And I think, you know, the best metric I can give you if you're thinking of somebody who went to a private school here and grew up with 120 friends or 120 friends in your class is out of the 130 of us who went to school together at Ebraica, which was the private Jewish school in Caracas, there's probably four or five left in the country. And that gives you a sense for, you know, the not just the brain drain, but the massive migration that's come out of this last 25 years. Now, we've tried to go into elections. We've mm-hmm. tried to fix this through the Democratic vote. And if you've been following the news at all in the last 25 years, there's been dozens of elections, and most of them very difficult to prove whether things have gone a right way or a wrong way. But I think things changed in the last couple of weeks when we had our last election, and we hope there will be change from it.
So let's just talk about that, because every single time there's an election in Venezuela, there's a lot of intimidation, there's allegations of vote rigging, you know, and then it sort of goes back down, you know, it's to the guys who were there before, and mostly blaming the Americans and sanctions, and like there's a lot of that in the way that this kind of stuff gets done. So why is this time different, do you think?
You know, the Venezuelan people, we love to dance, we love to eat, we love to socialize, and I think we go to the streets ready to vote. Whenever you want to see a picture of a lot of people in the street, just Google Venezuelan election and you'll find millions of people in the street. So you're right, like, we've always been there, but this time it's a bit different. I think not only has 8 million people left the country, there a couple months ago you would say there was no hope that you could go into the election and win. Nicolas Maduro is the current president. He became president, I think, 2013 when Hugo Chavez died in office. And what he did is that he's been basically banning every political candidate that has a chance to run against him. He gets a court to make a injunction to say, hey, you cannot run for office. Maria Corina Machado, MCM, let's call her Maria, decided to run for office last year. She went into the primaries, won, not only won the primaries with 96% of the vote, an opposition primaries, but also had such an incredible turnout at the primaries that just with that number, you could lose the presidential elections. Hmm. And what that did for Maduro is freak him out, and he banned her from running. 3 months ago, she appointed somebody else, another woman, to run on her behalf, kind of like a stand-in candidate. That lady was banned 3 months ago, right before the elections. A month and a half before the elections, Maria Corina Machado goes on TV with a grandfather figure, a guy called Edmundo González, very old ex-diplomat, and says, Edmundo will be running. And the campaign slogan was, Todo el mundo con Edmundo, everyone with Edmundo. You know, and it rhymed, and people went to the streets. And this guy, probably in his 70s, I can't tell his age, goes all around the country in a month. Nobody's ever heard of him before. And we go into the elections. Why this time is different? There was over 100,000 volunteers at electoral tables. I think it's a task that, you know, if you get together in a company to organize anything of this level with capital, you cannot do it. But I think the Venezuelan people were committed. There are 16,000 electoral centers in Venezuela, approximately, give or take. They put a person at every, two or three people at every electoral center. And what happens in our voting system is that you vote, you can vote digitally, but you also vote with paper. And you put it in a box without your name. When the results are, when the voting is done at the end of the period, they open the box in front of everyone, in front of the army, in front of all the volunteers, in front of all the witnesses, official witnesses from all the parties, and they count paper by paper, ballot by ballot. And they say, one vote for Edmundo, one vote for Nicolás, one vote for Edmundo, one vote for Edmundo, and so on. What happens is there is an evident audit of the results at every voting center. And historically, we haven't been able to prove that if you add up all the evidence of all the centers, this is a result you got. But this time was different because we have Twitter, and we had at every center, the witnesses were there to count the votes. When the votes were counted, the actas, an acta is a document, an issued statement, gets signed by all the witnesses. And as soon as it was signed, they took a picture of it and uploaded it to Twitter simultaneously. We're talking about 16,000 uploads in the same minute. Hmm. So we have the physical evidence of 16,000 voting centers showing that Edmundo González won with 67% of the vote.
Wow.
Whereas Nicolás Maduro's electoral committee goes on TV the next day without the results and says Maduro won with 51%. So everyone's laughing. Everyone's a bit worried. Like, where are you coming out with this? We have 16,000 documents uploaded on Twitter that you can use. And until today, this was July 28th, they have not published the results. They have not published any evidence on how they got to 51%. Most of the normal thinking economies have come online and said, listen, you cannot steal elections in this way. And I would like to be a little less political and say what I would like to see is actually them publish anything. Now, there's word that in China, they are right now replicating every one of the 16,000 electoral results, but their contractor said we need 2 weeks. So the 2 weeks have even expired. Their contractor is late to falsifying results. And we're in a bit of a state of shock trying to figure out what comes next.
And we're going to be talking about that. I'm Benji Shulman, 101.9 KFM, talking about the Venezuelan elections on the show today.
This is the New Blue Review with Benji Shulman.
101.9 KFM. We're talking to David Akinin today about the Venezuelan elections and how they're being stolen by the regime at the moment. Now, David, unfortunately, our government here in South Africa never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity to back a dictator. And it seems to have done so again here in this particular case with these election results.
Yeah, look, I love South Africa. I also love Namibia. I must say the Namibian government issued a congratulatory statement to Nicolas Maduro before South Africa did. I think they're not as aware as they should be. Mm-hmm. I think there's two things going on here, and anyone who's been following South African history knows it better than me. South Africa was helped by a bunch of different partners to end apartheid, to come into an independent state. And I think friendship and loyalty have a higher value in everyone's conscience than justice. And I think in what's happening today, it's more of a, Venezuelans were there for us then, we should be there for them now. And I think that shouldn't always be the case. I think right now what we need to see is the South African government and the Namibian government and all of the governments that are coming out in favor of Nicolas Maduro to not bash Maduro, but to actually request for evidence of how these results were done. I think even the Latin American countries that would be more left-leaning, socialist-leaning, came very quickly to say we respect electoral results because they would want that for their own country. But with a little bit of international pressure, a little of their neighbors providing pressure, they've now come online and said, wait one second, you're telling me in the last 2 weeks you haven't been able to publish the results of the election? Come on, publish the results of the election. And I think that's all I'm asking for here. It's, you know, South Africa, you know, you would want this to be the same here in any municipality. Let's ask for the same worldwide. If there are democratic elections and you have millions of people around the world protesting this, just ask for the results to be shown and then make your own independent statements about it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So just to follow the basic forms of electoral stuff, and I think that would be very helpful. You've been obviously raising awareness as part of a global campaign.
Yeah.
That's what you were doing over the weekend with, I'm assuming, expat members of the Venezuelan community here. But why, first of all, why should this matter to South Africans, or I suppose Jewish South Africans, also the ones listening to this station? And what can they do to help, around this?
Look, it should matter to Jewish South Africans specifically, but also to all South Africans. I think once you set the tone for being able to steal elections or not be able to justify electoral results as you publish them, it becomes a norm. And then what's the point of going out to vote? What's the point of having laws and justice? So I think that's the first thing. The second thing is Venezuela is being taken over hostile by creditors, hostile by terrorist organizations. And whoever doesn't believe me can just go Google this stuff, right? I mean, from training camps of the worst, all the way to the drug industry of the world is controlled by many hands in the Venezuelan ecosystems. And I think the Venezuelan people are tired, you know. The second reason why it should matter to the world is 8 million people have left Venezuela in the last couple of years, and that's a massive migrant crisis.
So, yeah, I can imagine. I think that's a huge thing. So if people want to get more information or want to help out, what is there a place they can go? Is there a good news source that they can follow? What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I mean, if you're in South Africa and you want to get a little bit of the stuff I repost, I'm Daviaki on Instagram, Daviaki. You can just search my name. You can also look up Maria Corina Machado, the electoral candidate. Follow her. She's got 10 million followers on Instagram. I think just be aware, be reasonable. Like, try to share what you think is happening around the world to other people around it. I can tell you the reason we went on August 17th all around the world. We took Nelson Mandela Square. We sang the national anthem. We raised awareness. The reason I decided to be part of this in South Africa is about 6 or 7 people in SA have seen me over the past week. They saw me at shul over the weekend and said, oh, what's going on in your country? I saw something about it. Something about it. And that for me was not enough. Something about it is not what's going on. I think there should be a clear understanding of what happened so that it doesn't happen again and it doesn't happen anywhere, and so that we can actually get justice in Venezuela and be able to call that home again for so many who've left.
Amazing. David, thank you so much for joining us on 101.9 Chai FM, and keep up the good work.
Thanks very much, and keep it up.
There we go. That brings us to the end of the show for today. Much appreciate everyone who helps put it together. Craig, who pushes all the big red buttons, and Vusi, who's on the sound. And to you, dear listener, who joins us every single week, please do join us again next week on the New Blue Review.